We should be aware that they are experts in double speak. Yes, double speak. These so-called experts we follow. They say that, you must follow Islam and give up the Quran. We must follow the Hanafi fiqh, as she said. But at the same time, she's arguing that we should discard with the entire fiqh, legacy, the whole thing. The Prophet ﷺ said that, مَثَلُ الْمُنَافِقِ كَمَثَلِ الشَّاتِ الْآعِرَةِ بَيْنَ غَنَمَيْنِ عائرة, you know, بين غنمين تعير إلى هذه مرة وتعير إلى هذه مرة. It's like an orphan sheep going from one mother to another mother, between two, you know, just jumping around. And Allah says in the Quran, وإذا لقوا الذين آمنوا قالوا آمنا وإذا خلوا إلى شياطينهم قالوا إنا معكم إنما نحن مستهزئون. And when they are with Muslims, when they meet the Muslims, they say, oh, we have believed. But when they return to their shayateen, they say, oh no, we're just playing. This, I think, must be clear in our minds. I walked in a few days, a few years ago, I walked in on an audience where one of these people who is now being promoted as the greatest thinker in Britain, about the greatest Muslim thinker, perhaps in the world. I don't know if apparently he can't speak Arabic, but obviously he's qualified to call for the reinterpretation of tafsir and what's not. But anyway, that's another story. But the incident I want to mention is, it's about going in and finding him speaking to a group of non-Muslims. And in that gathering, there was a young boy who asked a question about da'wah, about giving da'wah in this country. And in response, he attacked the boy, saying to him that, how many Muslims are there in the world? The boy said, about a billion. He said, that's a billion problems. Why would you want to make it a billion and one problems by calling someone else? We have to sort out Islam first. Yes, that's how they think about Islam. These are the people who are at the leading edge. They are the people that are representing us. Yes, that's the way. Double speak. When they're among the Muslims, they say all the right, they use all the right phrases. Hey, this is how Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam described them. Al-sinatuhum ahla min as-sukkar wa qulubuhum qulubu dhi'ab. That their tongue is sweeter than sugar, but their hearts are hearts of wolves. Now, when among Muslims, our Muslim parents, they use all the correct phrases, as I said, but as soon as they are alone with our children or with their friends, the genuine anti-Islam rhetoric surfaces. Then you would see their disdain for the Quran and their envy of ulama and their repulsion to every aspect of our heritage. As for advice on history lessons, as Ms. Barat said, she wanted people to learn about the pre-Islamic and non-Islamic history. We love history and we will teach our children history, but we will not restrict it only to the periods of arrogance and rebellion against Allah. Our history goes back to Adam alayhi salam, the Prophet of Allah. Yes, Adam. Yes, they've tried to ignore and change this, but subhanAllah, even their technology is forcing them now to reconsider. They did genetic trace, you know, obviously this is not something new for us. We believe in the Quran, so this does not increase our iman, but they did a genetic trace of the mitochondrial DNA, and it's taken them all back to one female in Africa. They're calling it the biological Eve. And they've also done it with the male, and they've now concluded that we also have a biological Adam. It's not Adam, it's not Eve, it's biological, because that's the category that they're giving. Yeah, that's the categorization that they're allowing for, but it's there. They can see it, and our history goes back to Adam alayhi salam, and he was a believer. The periods of arrogance and rebellion against Allah are there as lessons for us to take heed from. Yes, so we'll study the entire history of mankind. Now the fourth is to avoid fuzzy logic and grey areas when it comes to the practice of your deen. Be wary of people who seek escape from practicing in the collection of multiple opinions and doubtful rulings. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-halal bayyin wal haram bayyin, wa baynahuma mushabbahat wa mutashabihat, la ya'lamuha katheerun minan nas." That halal is clear and haram is clear, and between there are gray areas. And if you, not many, very many people know this, know the details of this. So don't get involved in that, because if you do, it's like taking your sheep to the bump, to the boundary. They will go over. So keep this clear. Miss Bonnard and her people wants our children to spend all their time discussing controversial issues, so that they become confused and lose their iman in the process. Every child should have this hadith at the tip of his tongue: al halal bayyin wal haram bayyin. And if you have problem, if you have a problem in understanding, then take it to those who know. Take it to the ulama. Another characteristic of these intellectual puppets is their persistent disdain for ulama. Yes, and this has become a popular pastime, ulama bashing. We should remember that I do not dispute that there are some people who are called ulama who are misguided and may cause harm or are deficient in their service, in the service they provide. But we do not discredit the entire medical profession because Dr. Harold Shipman killed hundreds of his patients, or a doctor may give false testimony or incorrect, inaccurate testimony, unprofessional testimony in court. The ulama, there are ulama and there are ulama. As Muslims, we need to listen to the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who said that innal ulama warathatul anbiya, they are the heirs of prophets, and they are the ones who are bringing the knowledge to you. So al-ilmu ilman, ilmun ala al-lisan wa ilmun fil qalb. Amma ilmul ilmu alma al-ilmu ala al-lisan fa hujjatullah ala ibadihi. Aw amma ilmun fil qalb fa huwa al-ilmun nafi'. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there are two types of knowledge: knowledge of the tongue and knowledge of the heart. The knowledge of the tongue is in fact a proof of Allah against the carrier of that knowledge, which is not a really good thing to have if it does not enter into your heart. Because the knowledge of the heart is the beneficial knowledge. That's the knowledge you need. But there's a journey from here, from the tongue to the heart. It's a long journey. And that comes with having all the characteristics that are necessary. This doesn't come. You might have the word of the knowledge, and you might be able to speak and talk and debate, but this comes with heart. قالت الأعراب آمنا قل لم تؤمنوا ولما يدخل الإيمان في قلوبكم. Allah says in the Quran, the Bedouin Arabs said that they believe, but say to them, you have not believed. Iman has not yet entered into your hearts. Yes, you have submitted. And this is the journey that we need, the journey that this knowledge necessitates, with being iman, having taqwa, having all the characteristics of the khuluq of a Muslim, and having recognition in the oneness of Allah, and having yaqeen, one, having certainty. This is one of the things that trouble a lot of these people. They're worried about yaqeen. An Orientalist said to me that in order for Muslims to progress, for you to practice this progressive Islam, you have to give up this whole idea of certainty, all the certainties you have about Quran. Muslims are plagued by the certainty. We have to be able to put aside the certainty. I said to him, the modern world is built upon global financial systems. And you know with full certainty that uncertainty causes these financial systems to collapse, and which, if they do, if they crash, it will threaten your entire civilization. Why are you trying to get Muslims to adopt uncertainty in their faith as a policy? He had no answer. The conversation ended. We should inquire about people's practice, their taqwa, their khuluq, before asking about their knowledge. We should also know, we should not allow any and every person to come and corrupt the simple among us, the simple-minded people among us, or the young, or the simple-minded. In every culture, there are people who are responsible for preserving the core elements of the culture. The Jews have the Orthodox traditions in which people do nothing but study the Torah. And they are even exempted from military service in Israel. And they are all they do is study. And likewise, the Christians, they have their seminaries, the missionaries, and monasteries. Why is it so outrageous that 3% of Muslims should study to become ulama, while 99% of them study in Western-style institutions and want to learn English and all that goes with it? Why is it such a great tragedy to have people who are preserving the core traditions of the culture. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allah la yantazi'u al-'ilma ba'da ma ataakumu intiza'an." That he will not take ilm, he will not lift up knowledge, true knowledge. This is not the wording of the knowledge, ilm al-lisan. He's talking about real knowledge. He will not lift that up after giving it to you, except with the taking of the ulama. Yes, with the dying of the ulama. So we should be careful. And be careful of what we say, because how we treat it. Especially in these times, we have to show some respect and value. And as I said, there are ulama and there are ulama. But this deen has been carried so far, so long by them, and it will continue, inshaAllah. Now the fifth point I want to make is to encourage each other and to engage in with the host community. Because we need to fulfill the rights of neighbors. We have 40 houses around us that we need to take on the responsibility of indulging and engaging with our neighbors in da'wah and in the responsibilities of a neighbor. We do not object to the proselytizing of any other faith, and we need the same freedom. We should make it known that we are not here to destroy them. We are not here to destroy anyone. We came here because of the freedom, to practice. We want the same opportunity to share the good in our faith with them. They are welcome to reject or accept. They need to know that it is counterintuitive and illogical for us to want to annihilate them at the same time while we seek to win their hearts over. It's actually counterintuitive, it's illogical. Why would we want to destroy you if we're aiming to seek, we want to convince you, we want to win your hearts over to our faith? One cannot do both. As the Americans are discovering in Iraq, they don't go hand in hand. Now finally, I think we cannot move forward and build strong communities without pooling our efforts together. Cooperation and coordination are vital. We have to look beyond the petty differences. A corporation based on taqwa, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى, not a corporation based on what the RAND Corporation has to say. And we should know that they will continue to try to divide us with numerous labels. In the RAND Corporation document I said, and we've seen 12 different categories. And if you look at other documents, you will find that Muslims are placed in boxes. And where an active plans are being drawn up to how to get one group to fight the other. We have to look above them and try to find ways of overlooking our petty differences. And remember what Allah said in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَا حُفْرَةٍ مِنَ النَّارِ فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ. O ye who believe, fear Allah and be mindful of Allah as He should be feared, and die not except as Muslims, except in a state of total submission to Allah, and hold fast together unto the rope of Allah, and be not divided amongst yourselves. And remember the favor of Allah unto you when you were enemies, but He joined your hearts together. And through His grace, you have become brothers. And so He has saved you from the brink of the pit of the fire of destruction. Thus does Allah make His proof clear to you, that you may be guided. وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. They planned, and Allah plans, and Allah is the best of planners. Now to conclude, I want to summarize the message for today. Today, which marks the third anniversary of 9/11/2001, which we have no idea, it seems to be an elaborate pretext operation. Allahu alam, what is the truth behind this? Perhaps we'll never learn, we'll never know. But what we have seen since the incidents on 9/11/2001 is a preponderance of spin, and followed by malicious scheming to change Islam. Now, my message to Muslims is that we have to start thinking for ourselves in order to stop being pawns in these global games, to stop allowing ourselves to become pawns in the global game, or in these local global games. They appear local, but the Sharif Hussein thought was part of a big game, and so the Mujahideen in Afghanistan, they were fighting a jihad, but in the bigger scheme of things, they were part of the Cold War. So who knows which big game is being played? We are a people with over 1,000 years of glorious history, and those who ignore history are usually condemned to repeating it, to repeating the mistakes. So terrorism might seem like a good idea to vent our anger and frustration over the cruelty we see day after day on Muslims and around the world, but it is also likely to be a source of celebration for generals in Washington and Tel Aviv who may be possessed by a bizarre military worldview. Creating a cycle of violence will not solve any of our problems. Our responsibility at this time is to protect our heritage by standing firm in support of our structures of scholastic authorities. Yes, our structures of scholastic authority, who are the ulama. Our ulama are the people who have, throughout history, maintained the core elements of our civilization. And they are the essential components of continuity of the faith. They are the people who are responsible for maintaining continuity in the faith. We need to protect our children from the deluge of disinformation and confusion that is being poured out by people like Miss Bernard and her students, some of whom have Muslim names. We need to protect our children from people who think that the Quran, Hadith and Fiqh are the real causes for a decline, and people who believe that the Quran is legend and myth. As for my message to the West, I say to the West, my advice would be that if they are keen to put a stop to the cycle of violence that we have seen in recent times, then they should leave Islam alone and concentrate instead on curbing the avalanche of agent provocateurs, flowing into our ranks, into the ranks of Muslims, and leading the simple-minded amongst us into self-destruct mode. They need to recognize that there is a large group of people in their midst who are keen to ignite and sustain a violent clash between the Muslim and Christian worlds, and from which obviously they hope to profit. Disproportionate and irrational focus on Islam will only further the cause of the warmongers. Let us not allow them to have the upper hand. I thank you. Assalamu alaikum.